Love Talk Radio.
Yo, turn me up on my headphone, yo.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dad.
That's right.
Kim.
Holla.
Jimmy. PJ.
I am that dude.
Commander. How you want to end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the
premise of talk on a
national level? Awesome, come from. Sort of like the rubber. When it's game counted like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and great. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room. With 5 nights at the round table, 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
All right, everybody, it's Thursday, October 27th, 2011, and the Starting Five is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and we got a full house tonight. We got Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson back with us tonight. Tonight, we bring you NBA news, a World Series update, NFL Week 7, and we'll give you our grades for all the quarterbacks who took the reins last Sunday. We'll especially talk about the performance of Tim Tebow and try to figure out why he's such a polarizing figure in sports. Get in that wild JW Philly Realty chat room right now and join the conversation at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter. As usual, we want to hear your opinion, so call in and join us. Call in and holler at us when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Shouts out to the conglomerate. Check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And make sure you keep up with the latest Philly sports news at buzzonbroad.com. Now that the house is clean, let's have a quick birthday party, my dudes.
My birthday, yay!
Whose birthday is it?
What's up, guys? You ready to get started?
Do it.
Yes, sir.
All right, the first birthday, and by the way, birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, which is found at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. And some of you young ladies that are listening, I've seen you in the streets, and you need to give them a call immediately. Anyway, the first birthday I want to talk about is when Braden Tyler Quinn, also known as Brady Quinn, turns 27.
My birthday!
I'm
going to
start this off with our PhD, Doc Bayon. When I say Brady Quinn, what comes to mind?
Do it in the game.
At Notre Dame, he was, like, really overhyped. And, you know, he did these EAS, I think, sports drink commercials where he's, like, working out, saying, like, yeah, I'm Diesel and all of that. So I'm expecting homie to come out in the NFL and do his thing. But, yo, he couldn't beat out Kyle Orton, couldn't beat out Tim Tebow. I think I would like to see him have a chance for, like, I guess, 16-game season to see if he sucks or not. But, he hasn't done anything, so there you go.
Yeah, personally, I think he's a sucker for love, but that's either here nor there. Death, what's your opinion of the young man?
Actually, Kill, by all reports, he did beat out Tim Tebow this year. But, you know, the fans weren't clamoring for him with billboards, so I guess Jimmy's Broncos kind of folded to the pressure. But I don't know if I think Brady Quinn has gotten a fair shot in the NFL just yet. You know, he was in Cleveland, and I don't know if the situation in Cleveland was actually set up for anybody to be successful at the time. But unlike a lot of other quarterbacks that we've seen before him, after that one shot from the team that he got drafted by, you know, there's not a lot of work out there, for starters. So he's relegated to being the third quarterback in Denver, so his career might just go down the tube just like that.
And last but not least, the hot block commander, B. Austin. What's your opinion on him, man?
I guess mine is sort of an amalgamation of the prior opinions of this gentleman. He did get his Diesel Smith on and try and get his modeling career started by taking his shirt off and running around talking about exercise, drinks, and clothing and all types of stuff. Shout out to Mark Sanchez. And then, you know, the situation in Cleveland, like Cleveland for a long period of time was a black hole, so it really wasn't set up for anybody to be successful. But then I kind of say, riddle me this. Don't exceptional talents do exceptional things with unexceptional situations? So I guess that's my take on Quinn.
I kind of agree with you. The cream always rises to the top. At any rate, let's move on for him because we spent a lot of time on Brady Quinn, which is hilarious because most teams don't. Let's talk about the next birthday. One Andrew Bynum, who turns 24.
My birthday! Yay!
Be Austin, right back at you, good brother. When I say Andrew Bynum, what comes to mind?
Yo, he did the business to Shaq the first time they met. Used his own move. Used his own move.
Kind of like
and
point.
Cooked him. No, in all seriousness, I think he's an uber talented young man who, if he can stay healthy, will evolve to a very good player. I can't give him, you know, great, because great, you kind of have to wait and see what ends up coming out, whether it's chicken shit or chicken shoot. But, yeah, I mean, talent, all the talent in the world is there. If they put it together and they keep that nucleus, I think that, well, you never know with Fan Brown coaching. I was going to say Chips could still be in the horizon for Kobe. But the coaching situation, man, Kobe going to have to coach this team himself.
I got a Kobe story for y'all, too. Remind me to talk about that when we bring up the NBA. Got a little quick.
All right,
good problem. Why you speaking? What do you got on Andrew Bynum?
Andrew Bynum is that dude that we're always going to say, if he can do this, if he can do that. All the talent in the world, he has moves. You know, you don't see that with big men anymore. His work with Kareem kind of paid off, but he's never on the court for an 82-game season. He's never on the court for a 52-game season. So he's going to be that dude that we always say, if he could have done this, if he could have done that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it could be worse. He could be the bull in Portland, Mr. Glass.
Yeah, it could be worse. You're right.
Doc Bay, what's your take?
I think about when J.J. Barea embarrassed him, when J.J. Barea went to the basket and Bynum put his forearm shiver to the chest and, like, bruised J.J.'s pectoralis muscle, and J.J. still got the and-one. And Bynum gets escorted out the game, got kicked out. Also, I remember Kobe hurting his feelings, saying, yo, come on, man. We got Andrew Bynum out there. Come on, man. How are you supposed to know that guy?
Yo, I'm surprised you're the first person that brought that up, because I was thinking about the same thing with what he did to Barrera and then, like, got his little Tupac moment on, taking his shirt off, walking out, acting all tough. Because it's funny because that's the first thing that comes to mind now, because it was like such a cheap shot, but, you know, it was still hilarious to me. Anyway, that's the first thing that comes to mind when I think Andrew Bynum, which is sad considering the amount of talent that the young man has. But let's move on from Andrew Bynum. The next birthday is one Robert Perry Goldick, also known as Bob Goldick, turns 54.
My birthday! Yay!
Yeah, Bob Goldick.
Man, think of Bob Goldick. You think of his brother.
Who isn't better?
I don't know. Bob Golic was better than his little brother. I didn't see his team play that much being over here on the East Coast. So the biggest thing I remember about Bob Golic is being in that Saturday morning TV show with them kids. He was like a high school teacher or gym teacher or something like that.
I forgot
what that show was called, but that's what Saved I remember. Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell
was that other joint.
No, he was definitely not on there with Screech, yo.
Yeah. It was that other joint. Well, we'll figure that out. Somebody will give us the name of that. But
yo, anybody in the chat room know what show Bob Golic was on, let us know. I guess everybody spoke. Does anybody else want to say anything significant about Bob Golic?
Yeah, when I think of Bob Golic, I think of Mike and Mike in the Morning and his brother Mike Golic. Also, when I think of Bob Golic, I think of the Eagles defense and Mike Pitts being the starter and his brother Mike Golic being the backup. So that's what I think of when I think of Bob Golic.
All his memories are about his brother.
It's funny that Kill went that direction with it, because I was going to say, when you say the last name Golic, I think of how his brother Mike has been vastly overrated based on his success in ESPN. And he kind of runs with it. Like, Mike lets you think that he wasn't some trash truck juice. Like, he's kind of, when Clyde Simmons and Reggie White and Jerome Brown and I and he throws the end eye. And I
hey,
were,
Kill was Kill.
Oh, I look, don't
Kill was right,
yeah. I mean, he was there. He was there.
Kill was
at
right.
The same time.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
Kill was right. It was saved by the bell, but it was the college years. Saved by the bell.
Oh
college
yeah,
years.
That's right. That's
so
right.
He was
no,
like
I,
the
no,
he
I
was like the
that.
RA in the dorm. He was like Sinbad on a different world.
Sinbad. Everybody stays
was
cool.
College years was weak. But, yo, with that being said, though, yo, Mike Golic definitely was there, but he is surrounded by, like, some of the best defensive linemen ever.
Yo,
anyway,
why are we still talking about Mike?
Yeah, how about that? It's not even his birthday. Let's move on.
Yo, shout out to Bob, yo. You were better.
Let's talk about Monte Ellis, who turns 26. I'm going to let you start us off, Hot Block Commander. When you think of Monte Ellis, what do you think of?
Well,
you don't even get
I'm
a birthday
shout out. Echo some words that, Dev was kind of saying, like, dude is one of those cats that we're going to constantly talk about his scoring prowess and his talent and his IQ can be raised to match his talent level. But dude scores some of the most meaning and inefficient buckets in the league. In the league, I might even go as far as to say the world. He's definitely a talented scorer. And defensively, you know, some of y'all know that I used to mess around with the rock a little bit. I no longer do that, but I play better defense than Monte Ellis. I guarantee you that. He's not defending anything.
Doc Bay, what you want to say about Monte Ellis?
Yo, I got a couple things about Monte. He has the fastest spin move in the NBA, if you all know that. And he has the record for the most points ever scored against Oak Hill Academy. As a junior, he dropped 42 on Oak Hill. And then he scored 42 again in high school against Lou Williams and roasted him. So he's roasted, you know, all comers. And also, if y'all remember this, he tore up his leg in a low-speed moped accident and then tried to lie about it. And then Golden State almost voided his contract a few years ago.
Yo, I wonder, here's the question I have. When you say that how many people he roasted, I wonder how much they gave him back, no rainbow, because Brad is right. Dude doesn't play, he plays negative defense.
Yo, there's no way that he could stop you, Jimmy.
Yo,
not interested.
Yeah, what you want to say about the young man, Dad?
Monte Ellis, he's a walking tattoo. Happy birthday.
Let's move on. Hey, Dev, let everybody know what happened while they were on the grind.
I will do that, good sir. All right, everybody, this is what happened this week and today while you folks
just a bit outside.
That ain't what I was looking for. While you folks were trying to make that hard-earned cash. All right, on the grind, of course, this is brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. Hottest rims and tire selection on the internet. Go there, get your whip right. All right, y'all. Vikings cornerback Chris Cook was arrested for allegedly trying to strangle his girlfriend. All right, he was charged this weekend for domestic assault. His girlfriend said he threw her on the bed, tried to strangle her. She freed herself. Then he hit her, grabbed her neck again, and she ended up crying, bloodied, with marks on her neck and hemorrhaging in her eye. Y'all got any words for Chris Cook of the Minnesota Vikings, who is now on suspension without pay from the team because the judge has, you know, let him out on bail, and he is allowed to travel with the team, but the team said nah.
Yo, man.
You, sir, are a coward.
I'm trying to find a way to blame this on McNabb, but I can't even blame this on him. I mean, that's just ridiculous, man.
I can't.
That's ridiculous.
Sometimes when your defense is on the field so much, he probably got so frustrated, he went home and took it out on his lady. And it may have started in a, you know, a loving encounter, and it just got more and more physical as he replayed the ineptitude of the offense on the field. And he's probably friends with AP, and thinking how AP got to carry so much of the load because the guy that touched the ball on every snap can't do a thing. So
hey, Jimmy, okay.
So you knew Austin could find a way to flip it on me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was very creative. That was very creative.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, no doubt.
Man, you got an opinion on this before we move off of this?
Yo, it's, yo, it's just crazy, man. Like, yo, why can't cats just chill? You know, you're an athlete, you're getting paid to play a sport, you know, hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars. Like, yo, if she get on your nerves that much, yo, just leave, go somewhere. Or kick her out, make her leave, go somewhere. Like, just chill, man. That's all I got to say.
Not worth it. Definitely not worth it. All right, so we're going to move on to the next story because, you know, we don't want to get into all the tabloid stuff. Sports Illustrated this week, they did a profile on Jamarcus Russell. And for all you guys who don't know, our nickname here for him in the war room is Jamarcus Rubbish because he is trash. But according to him, while he was with the Oakland Raiders, he was dealing with a whole lot of matters that the public was unaware of. He claims that he stuck his neck out there for Tom Cable, and then Tom Cable, when he got fired, he threw Jamarcus under the bus, saying he was the worst thing that ever happened to the Raiders. But he goes on to say that he was dealing with the death of 11 family members, and sleep apnea played a part in, you know, the lethargic, you know, behavior that we seem to see from him on the football field. So anybody going for this, or do y'all feel this is just...
No, I'm not. And I got some bars for this young man. Go ahead, Brother Jimmy.
I just want to know, is he related to the Hatfield or the McCoys? How does that many family members die in that short a period of time? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel that, and may his family rest in peace, and those that are still with us find solace in the Lord, Tim Tebow. I mean, in their Lord, whoever they... but what I do want to say is, yo, stop with the excuses, family. Stop it. Because great players, you're not the first person to have gone through a little something. Great players take refuge in their passion, and their passion is whatever sport that they play. You have the opportunity and the ability to throw a ball very, very far. And so, yo, you gotta check. Go play football, homie.
Get those 75 yards off his knees.
Yeah, see what that got him.
Got him a whole lot of money that he ended up blowing. But
yeah, he probably broke. Stop drinking that cough syrup.
Yeah. He said that the sleep apnea thing had something to do with why he was, you know, on cough syrup so much.
Oh, my God.
That doesn't even make any sense. But I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah. Well, he just went on to say, you know, it just seems like every problem that the Raiders had was being blamed on him. He was like, you know, he had his part in it, but he didn't give up 42 points. He didn't miss a block.
Throw the defense under.
You know,
he said
he never caught the same play five damn times in a row. So he was throwing everybody. He was just finding buses and just tossing everybody up under there. Like, I'm going down. Everybody going down with me. But, yeah, so. And the question was, you know, throughout the week, a lot of sports media was asking, does he get a second chance? Should he get a second chance from another NFL club? Y'all can just answer that real quick, and we can move on.
I would say anybody that has been drafted that high is due at least a workout. And also, I would like to say that I think he may have caused the NFL lockout because owners were thinking, like, yo, Jamarcus Russell just walked away with, like, $40 million and did nothing.
True that. So, second chance, Jimmy?
No.
Austin?
For what?
And they talk about every time somebody sees him how much weight he's put on. So, I don't even know if he's working to get a second chance. But we'll move on.
Maybe he could be a tackle. You know, maybe he could change his position and play like tackle.
Could have played that right out of college. But, all right, I know y'all heard about this whole Rob Gronkowski thing, which is the tight end for the New England Patriots.
he found him a tight end.
He was in a picture, a twit pic, with porn star B.B. Jones. But he got so much flack for it, he ended up apologizing to Robert Kraft and the Patriots. He said, I didn't intend anything to hurt the reputation of anyone on the New England Patriots or on behalf of Robert Kraft. That's all. Just a simple picture. That's all. Then he got a little indignant, like, from here on out, I just want to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the big game this weekend. Do you guys think that an apology was necessary for taking
no.
a shirtless
went out like a sucker
while she had your jersey on?
Now, huh? Well, let me give you my opinion, because it may differ than everybody else's, which is initially I was thinking, no, why should you apologize? Then I thought about it. The only problem I have with it is you did have the Patriots jersey and everything in the picture when you posing, you know what I mean, damn near showing off your man region with a porn star. So, I mean, that is their brand, and they do have to protect their brand.
Yeah, I thought about that same thing, but then I thought, like, you know, how many people are sitting in Foxborough Stadium every week with jerseys on who do, you know, way worse things than being a porn star?
No, this may be true.
So,
this may be true, but he's an employee and represents the organization. And with that being said, if any porn stars want to wear a Wolverine logo, they can do so. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Since you brought that up,
reaching out the rock.
Why the hell did dude have his jersey with him anyway?
Yo,
he was in Arizona.
He met her through
mutual friend, and she asked the same question, like, why do you have your jersey? Say he took it out of a suitcase and, like, could you put on my jersey? Which
yeah, he walked around. He's obviously a noodle. He don't get much. He does a noodle. I mean, he got excited. He took a pic. You see a beautiful woman.
Guess what, though? Let me ask you guys a question. When you think about it, at the end of the day, when's the last time we talked about this gentleman in the war room?
Never.
So it worked.
No, but if you think about it, that, I mean, he was looking for publicity because when she asked him, can I put the pictures on Twitter, he said he was cool with it because she had more Twitter followers than her, I mean, than him, and he felt that that could get his, you know, his Twitter numbers up. So
he got what he was looking for.
He just felt like he needed to apologize to Robert Kraft.
He felt she could get his Gronkowski up.
Yo, and the thing is, he's having a good season, so next thing you know, he may step up and get a Kardashian.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Oh, yeah. That would be a major step up on BB Jones.
Courtney and her dude always seem to be on the rocks. And he's just a regular dude, so I'm sure her sisters are pushing her to to step it up to a better dude. So Gronkowski, do what you got to do. Last story on the grind. Y'all hear about y'all man Julius the Doctor Irving. This dude is auctioning off damn near his whole trophy case. And claiming that he's not broke. What do you say, Jim?
Say it ain't so.
He does have a lawsuit on him. There's a lawsuit for, I believe it's $207,000 because a golf course that he purchased in Georgia is gone under foreclosure. So they're suing him for the, you know, $200,000 plus. He claims that it has nothing to do with that. He says, I've never been a hoarder or a collector, but I'm going to read off the list of things that's going to be auctioned off, and you guys tell me if y'all think Doc is broke. This 1969-1970 game-worn UMass jersey, minimum bid $15,000. 1974 New Jersey Nets ABA championship ring, minimum bid $20,000. 75-76 ABA MVP trophy, minimum bid $10,000. 1983, and this hurts my heart, Philadelphia 76ers NBA championship ring, minimum bid $25,000. And the last thing, a pair of game-worn Converse sneakers customized for the cult classic, best acting that we've ever seen, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, and minimum bid $500. Is Doc broke, fellas?
Of course he is. And I'm going to tell you what, if he'd have developed his left hand, never mind.
You are not allowed to diss Dr. J in the war room, Phil.
Don't diss Doc.
He just did that commercial with Converse. You know, I thought he got a little shake from that, but can you really think something's generating money with Jimmy Jones in it? I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm confused. I mean, you don't have to be a hoarder to want to keep the things, the biggest things that you've accomplished in your career. I mean, some people, their career is life, so some of the biggest things you've accomplished in your life. So I don't understand where the doc is going with this, I personally think
he's trying to get a bunch of money together to make another investment. Maybe Doc's trying to buy some noni.
We don't believe you. You need more people.
Maybe Doc's trying to buy some noni juice or something.
But, yo, didn't he just do some commercials? Like, did he do like a, did he do a Dr. Pepper commercial? I know he was, like, working in the front office with the Magic. I mean, like.
Yeah, and then the Converse one that Austin just talked about. Maybe Jimmy Wright. Maybe he's trying to scrape up the bottom Bobcats from MJ. Because MJ seemed a little bit strong. All right, so that's a sad one for me, especially the championship ring. But that's what happened, everybody, while y'all were on the grind. Yeah, it ain't so bad.
That's about it, yo.
I know, right?
Yo, y'all ready to pass the rock, gentlemen?
Pass the
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, first off, Pass the Rock is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Some of you have financial issues and need to give them a call. You can go to our website and get more information. With that being said, Pass the Rock is when the starting five vent on their chosen sports issue or report their favorite headline of the week. And with that being said, I'm going to inbound the rock to my man, Doc Bayard.
Thank you, sir, as I bring the ball up the court. Good evening, War Room World and Galaxy. I just wanted to take some time to talk about the current NBA lockout. As we all know, training camp has been canceled, the preseason has been canceled, as well as the first month of the NBA season. After numerous meetings that lasted double-digit hours, where I'm sure copious notes were being taken, there has yet to be a resolution or contract procured to end the battle between the owners and the players. To help with the negotiation, I will provide you with a list of annual player salaries from the last two seasons. This wasted money could have allowed the owners to save money and maybe avoid a lockout. These players all deserve to play in the NBA and make millions, but not at the rate that they were paid, and for that I blame the owners and general managers. Now, here are some of the contracts that come to mind. Joseph Johnson, $20 million. Richard Hamilton, $13 million. Ben Gordon, $12 million. Now, I have a question for the Pistons general manager, Joe Dumars. Why are you paying the starting shooting guard $13 million and paying his backup $12 million? Now, back to the list. Elton Brand, $18 million. Matt Carroll, $4 million. Boris Diaw, $9 million.
I think one of my favorite
players out there, Boris, but you're overpaid,
thanks,
brother. Andrus Bedrins, $9 million. Kendrick Perkins, $8 million. Jermaine O'Neal, $23 million. Beno Udrih, $8 million. Brian Cardinal, $6 million. Vince Carter, $18 million. Eric Dampier, $10 million. O'Donnell Foyle, $7 million. Daniel D'Alembert, $10 million. Brendan Haywood, $8 million. Tyrus Thomas, $10 million. Gilbert Arenas, $21 million. And last but not least, Rashard Lewis, $22 million. All of that equals $232 million in bad NBA contract signage. And with that, I will throw a bounce pass one-handed style to my man, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Well, that's a lot of scratch. And most of them names, they don't deserve it. Oh, man. You listeners out there, you may have heard the slogan popularized by the United States Army Rangers, first in, last out. Well, due to recent media reports, as they've researched the former Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback, his motto when it comes to practice, film watching, and meetings is last in, first out. I'm done. Let me pass the rock.
Jim.
Yo. you find a way to take a shot at all your hated rivals every week, don't you?
Yo, that man took valuable time off my life.
I heard that. Yo, this is War Room Jimmy, a.k.a. the Distinguished Gentleman. Before I get into my rant, I want to send a shout out to all the strippers who support the War Room, because last night while visiting one of these fine establishments, a young lady informed me that we have a lot of fans in that industry. So shout out to all you strippers out there. At any rate, this week I will be very brief. I want to tell our listening audience that I'm sick and tired of pass interference in the NFL. Oh. I have talked about this in the past, but the phenomenon is even worse. Cornerbacks in the NFL are downright disrespected. They are not allowed to look too long at a receiver without getting pass interference called on them. Unless that is you, unless you're Darrell Revis, in which case you can commit assault and the refs ignore it. Meanwhile, offensive pass interference is rarely called, although it is at times warranted. I understand that the league is successful when there is more action and higher scoring games, but it's getting downright egregious. You have average players putting up Hall of Fame numbers because of the way that games are officiated and all the offense that, you know, currently goes on in these games. Some of these wide receivers and quarterbacks are more overrated than a cheesesteak from Pagano's, yet they will go down in the record books because of this offensive happy lead. You know what? I want to know what you think. Is pass interference being called too much, or do you enjoy watching flags fly on damn near every single pass play?
Flag
for those
football.
Of you in the chat room and those in on Facebook and Twitter, let me know. Do you think pass interference is getting out of hand? And in case you forgot, I'm nice. And with that being said, I see my man Dev cutting. Dev, I'm going to pass you the rocker, brother.
All right. I just got a few short words to say real quick. And I've said this already on our Facebook page, but we've noticed here in the War Room that the very mention of Tim Tebow's name gets under the skin of a lot of our fans. Personally, and I think I can speak for my War Room brothers, we could seriously care less about what he ultimately becomes in the NFL. But with that being said, we have absolutely nothing against the man. Well, maybe Jimmy may care a little bit just because he's a Broncos fan. But since we're jerks and enjoy getting under people's skin, until further notice, the fourth quarter or any clutch moment or situation of any sporting event will now be referred to in the War Room as Tebow time.
Tebow time!
Stop hating. And with that, I catch the pass that Jimmy threw to me while I'm cutting towards the rim. But seriously, I just travel with it, laugh, drop the ball, and walk off the court because we blowing y'all out. And the crowd is just going crazy about it. I don't need stats. Hit 'em, PJ.
Gia.
Hey, Jim, man. Hey, Jimmy, man. I gotta take some issue with you saying that Pagano Steaks is overrated, though, man.
Pagano Steaks.
Hey, see, you know what?
You're
from uptown,
so
you know,
Jim.
Didn't I tell you
man.
Anybody from uptown was gonna be upset?
Everybody
with that?
From uptown overrates Pagano's, man.
It's not. Listen. It ain't great. You know why I like them, cause they give you way too much meat.
They give you all the
like
you're
just trying to feed a trough of plate.
All that jackass meat. First of all, you walk into the junk and they got like pounds and pounds of steak already on the damn grill.
I know, Jimmy. Each pound, each joint is like one steak. Each trough of meat on the grill.
I didn't have an issue with it. Pagano's is a little overrated. It ain't garbage. It ain't horrible. It's not like Jim's or Geno's or something. But it's.
Yo, first off, I'm gonna tell
you about D'Alessandro's not bad.
D'Alessandro's is the best
in
uptown,
I think. D'Alessandro's has the best cheesesteak and chicken cheesesteak on the continent.
I think they got the best in uptown.
And they didn't pay us for that, by the way.
Yeah, cut the check, D'Alessandro.
Matter of fact, D'Alessandro's, I will never say that again until you cut us a check.
I will say cut the check for Max's, but I don't think they got the money. Never mind.
Max has got the most smut standing around while you're eating your steak. Tell him
I can't. All right, y'all. Yo, y'all can get in contact with us by checking out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure that you sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy that cool War Room Sports merchandise, and then click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, and to subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Watch War Room videos at warroomsportstv.com. For access to all of our media content on the go, download the free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. So raise your hand, and we might call on you. With that, I'll throw it back over to Dev.
All right, yo, first of all, we're going to get into some hot topics, but before we do that, you know, we want to get a word in from one of our sponsors. Family members, War Room family, is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and let someone else read to you. All you got to do is visit audible.com and sign up for a free trial just by using the URL audibletrial.com/warroomsports. FYI, that new Steve Jobs book is in stores now, so don't miss out. So let's get into little bit of hot topics here. We got a story from the world of boxing. I'm going to go ahead and throw the disclaimer out here, or not even a disclaimer. I'm going to implore my brothers Austin and Jimmy not to get into a big Pac-Man Floyd argument, because we've all heard it before. But Bob Arum, Jimmy's favorite dude, Bob Arum, says that he doesn't see the mega fight ever happening. And I'm going to read you his quote on why it'll never happen. He said, when Mayweather talks about how he hates Top Rank, he's talking bull snap. What Mayweather hates is Manny's right hand. Mayweather has no chin, and Manny will knock him out. Pacquiao and Mayweather is a 3 or 4 round fight, period. And who knows that best? Mayweather. The one thing Mayweather has had throughout his career is he knows boxing. He understands boxing, and Mayweather cannot compete with Manny. It's the right hand of Manny that's preventing the fight from happening. If Manny agreed to just jab with the right hand, the fight would be made in 30 seconds. Now, he said this at an event leading up to Pacquiao's next fight against Marquez. PJ, what do you think about Bob Arum comments?
I think Bob Arum, knowing how Floyd is ego-driven and prideful he is, I guess he figured, well, since the money is not going to lure him into a fight, maybe I'll just take shots at his ego and see if that'll get him in the ring.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was going to make sure I got that off before Jimmy and Austin start screaming at each other. But
yo, I'm not even going to scream.
I think that's just a promoter being a promoter. I think he's just trying to get the fight done. So like PJ said, he's just going to go at his manhood now. He's like, we done been at the negotiating table.
I'm not going to argue with Austin. I was going to say something like that. Like, basically, what is he supposed to say? He's doing his job.
He's just doing his
job. All I'm going to say about this is I will never send a shot no more. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave Austin alone. I'm not saying anything else. All I'm going to say is, sometimes when we touch.
That
man's
a singer, yo.
Kill, you want Dr. Bayon? You want to let the people know something?
Yeah, all I want to say is I fought both of them for not making the fight happen, but I fought Floyd more because like a lot of you alluded to last week that if it was Evander Holyfield, he wouldn't care like who was taking what, if they were taking something, or if it was Tyson, they were like, yo, let's just brawl. Like, yo, I don't care. Let's
That's
just fight.
That's why they both broke
now, though. Down by a bunch of steroid users. And
I'm going to leave the boxing world for a second to make my point. I'm going to stay in the fighting category. There was a gentleman, most of y'all have probably heard of him. His name was Bruce Lee.
Boy.
Now, Bruce Lee didn't have the money that Pretty Girl Swirl has, doesn't have the money that Pac-Man has. But
at his time, you know, in his era, he was making movies, he was promoting Rumbles, he was doing his thing, he was getting a little bit of paper. Anytime someone showed up in his vicinity and laid down a challenge, Bruce Lee would stop what he was doing and say, yo, let's take it to the alley, yo. Let's get it in. And he had to actually have people employed to stop him from doing this because it was kind of like, you know, you've
detrimental to his career.
You stepped beyond that, Bruce. You can't just take every challenge. We know that you're not scared. We know that you're not going to make excuses. We know that you're not going to get on and talk about rumbling. You're going to go out and test a dude's chin. It doesn't matter if he's on roids. It doesn't matter if he's on PCP. You're going to
do it. Don't matter if he's 7 foot two.
Don't matter if he's 7 foot two. You're going to rumble the greatest Muslim.
First off, but Kareem got
as Akil alluded to,
Kareem got
the great Evander would have rumbled anyone. So now let's not talk about
that. He can't spell Evander now.
Bottom line.
Hold on. One thing.
Bottom
I want to make a statement. Kareem got jerked.
He did. Pretty good.
The fight should have been stopped.
Pretty good swirl.
He put that footprint in his chest.
Pretty good swirl.
That flounder foot.
And he's ducking.
Yo, hey. Fellas, don't Austin sound like Mike Wilbon? He stay going at Floyd head. And I think if he saw him in person, Floyd, he probably.
But you know what though? Like Bruce Leroy also wasn't a prize fighter to the same way that Floyd is. So I don't need that analogy.
He's a rumbler.
Kareem got a fight should have been stopped. The fight should have been stopped once Kareem put the flounder foot in his chest. It should have been over at that point.
All right. Well, look, y'all. Bottom line, I agree with Brother PJ when it's a promoter being a promoter. And I actually think this tactic might go a long way into getting the fight, the fight done. Because now you're just coming at the dude as a man, and you know his hood side might prevail in this one. Like, oh,
I think Aaron needs to go get Floyd Senior.
Yeah, I'm about to say Floyd's Uncle Roger's side is gonna come out, and that's gonna get him in the ring. Uncle Roger about it.
All right, well, Akil brought this up in his PTR a little bit. Let's talk about the NBA situation for a little while. I didn't want to interrupt you, Akil, while you were doing your PTR, but the meetings that they had yesterday, they sat for another 15 hours yesterday, and there's a little, like, cautious optimism going around, you know, the NBA talks now. They think they're making a little progress. I hear they made progress on a lot of issues, but they're still not together on the 50-50 split. I think the players have maybe conceded a little bit, thinking that they may take like 52, because, you know, each point represents like $200 million. So all of the contracts that Akil that he said in his PTR, you could get rid of all of those contracts if they just take 1 point less. You can get rid of all those bum contracts. But what I was saying, because Akil said in his PTR that they're going to miss the first month of the season, at this point they're actually quite optimistic that if progress keeps going and they get a deal done this week, they might find a way to get all 82 games in. So even the ones that they announced that they canceled, they might find a way to squeeze them in. So that, you're talking like four extra games per team per month. So what do you guys think about the latest talks? Because last week they were just going at it.
Based on where the numbers are, I never thought that the numbers were a hindrance in getting the deal done. I don't think it's a matter of numbers. It's a matter of pride, kind of like what we was talking about with you know, Pretty Girl Swirl and Pac and Irm. It's like we got two sides that are diametrically opposed to one another, and it has nothing to do with the dough. It's just, you know, I don't respect you, you don't respect me, and you try to put your hands in my pocket.
I personally was hoping that we would get a shorter season because 82 games is too much.
Too long.
Personally. Yeah, no rainbow. But
You're not trying to see the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I'm definitely not.
Do you think, I mean, because I know it won't last. If it does, it won't last past this season, but do you think 82 games this season, if they do squeeze it in, knowing that we just went through all of that, you think that might be a more exciting 82-game season than we've seen in a long time?
I don't know. I think they're going to go the other way. They're going to start making these guys play more games.
Yo,
they'll start
Chad's
going to
be tired.
Games.
Yo, Chad's going to be tired playing back-to-back.
No, it wouldn't be that many. Because remember, when they did the lockout in 99, when they had, well, it was still, they went down to a 55-game season, but the most they did were three games in a row. So,
I'm gonna borrow from something that you always say, Dev. The quality of the product, based on player skill level, based on, you know, certain people being there that shouldn't be. Shout out to Derek Fisher. It's kind of like how can you have a more exciting 82 games without contracting the lead? I mean, it's still going to be the same type of players involved. In fact, now if they can't get some of them back from overseas, you're going to see.
Or not even that, Austin. It's going to be the same type of players making less money, so they're going to be upset. Sammy's going to be like, what? I can't block two shots for $10 million. I need 12. Like, come on, Sammy. Speaking of that, I can't think of his name. I'm having a brain fart because I'm thinking of how Austin always going at Derek Fisher. But did you guys see the video of the press conference? Who was that sitting up there next to Derek Fisher as a representative for the players?
Maurice
used
Evans.
To play for the Lakers. Evans?
Yeah.
What do you think of Mo Evans being a player rep on a high level?
I think that he looks like Charlie Villanueva's little brother.
That's what
I'm thinking. I think a lot of these cats, like Michael Curry, Derek Fisher might be okay. Well, even Derek Fisher and Michael Curry and Bruce Bowen, they're like, you know, mid-level to below-level players. So they're trying to do something so they can keep money coming in. So they're like, so when they retire, when they retire and they apply for one of these jobs with the team, they're like, look, not only was I a player, I also sat at meetings during the labor negotiations. So, make me the assistant GM.
But you also have to realize that they have to represent the union when they send them out to different affairs. Like, you wouldn't want AI as a player rep or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely not.
Yeah, you want to know people how to carry themselves in public. You know, unlike, you know.
Not going there with
AI. I might go in there with an AK-47 on somebody.
I keep it going, Philly.
And so before these announcements even, you know, came out that they were making some kind of progress, a few people started dropping out of that global tour that they planned on having. LeBron,
yeah.
Melo,
well,
Chris Paul.
Everybody dropped out.
Yeah, but LeBron, Melo, and Chris Paul, they dropped out. Kobe and Wade still have plans to play in the October 30th game in Puerto Rico. I had a Kobe story. Inside source who was at a gym the other day in L.A. was watching a pickup game between a few NBA players, Kobe included. So the story was James Harden, when the game first started, James Harden hit Kobe with a few shots and started, like, disrespecting him. Like, the way he was talking to him, he was disrespecting Kobe. So Kobe goes and gives James Harden 10 of the next 11 baskets while cursing him out the whole time.
Your arms is too short to box with God.
He's still nice, man. Too much pride involved in that. These off-season Kobe James Harden stories are starting to be like stories of
I got a lot of respect for James Harden. I got a lot of because he's not scared and he goes at him kind of like he's from the crib. Maybe you're right, Jimmy. Maybe James Harden is from Philly because he'd go with Kobe.
James Harden,
like, I can't go home and get laughed at, but he gets done in.
James Harden to me is the new Cuttino Mobley. That's what
his
game reminds me of. He like the new.
Yo, why is he following Kobe around the country? Like, yo, he be all over the place. Like, wherever Kobe's playing, he seems to be playing.
Well, no, both of those games where Kobe bodied him was both in L.A. Go ahead, PJ, my bad.
No, I was just going to say, I'm wondering if James Harden's clothes are as tight and feminine and shiny as Katina Mobley's. I hope not. I'm hoping not. I don't think that beard would go right with the tiny, too small, medium junk.
Well, whatever clothes he had on, the boy Kobe torched him off.
He was scorching
James
the junk. He had to wash him.
He lit them Jones on fire. They described it as, like, the game got ugly. Like, he was, like, disrespecting Kobe so bad because he gave him a couple of buckets. And then it got even uglier when Kobe started, you know, giving him buckets because, you know, he gave it right back to him, I guess. Like, I'm going to talk worse because I'm better than you and you tried to disrespect me. But that was a story that I wanted to tell y'all about from that. So the NBA season is starting to look like, you know, it's coming and it's starting to look like it may have the potential to be a full season. I'm kind of with Jimmy, though. I hope they do trim it down a little bit because maybe you can get cats to play harder for a more consistent period. World Series. I know it's still a sore topic with a lot of you fellas.
Yeah,
we haven't heard DJ since the Phillies lost.
I'm cool.
That's because I've been in baseball like, trivia. I've been secluded, man. It's hard.
Well,
I have to watch it, man.
I don't know if anybody's still following the World Series, but you know the Cardinals are down 3-2. They are at home tonight in a game that was postponed from last night. This is Game 6. Now, they've had an opportunity to win every game, and what I wanted to ask you fellas is, do you think the deficit – now, when we hear his name, we always hear the word genius flying around. We know he's a future Hall of Fame manager, but do you think that deficit has a lot to do with the managerial gaffes of one Tony La Russa? Jimmy, what do you think? He had the whole bullpen thing where they couldn't get the right pitcher throwing in the bullpen, and when he came out to pitch – Tony La Russa was like, you know, who the hell asked for him? They had the guy walk a guy with four straight pitches and put him right back into the bullpen because that's not who he asked for. Go ahead.
I'm saying it is a lot of mistakes going on. Maybe he needs some of that Ronald Washington coke, you know, because he seems to be doing a good job. So, you know, maybe that's the secret to it all. But with that being said, I don't know, because it's sort of like one of them things where when you see these kind of mistakes, you want to blame it on the manager, but at the same time, players have to take responsibility. But so I don't want to put it squarely on his shoulders.
I don't know. I think in baseball, though, it's a little bit
strategy
because it comes down to, yeah, it's very strategic. And,
yeah, it is very strategic.
You know, he
yeah.
had things like our Pujols putting on two hit and runs. You know, why did he have permission to do that in the first place? You know, and whether or not these are his mistakes, he's taking the blame for them. I guess that's what you should do as a manager.
He has
but,
to. As Andy
you know, on
Reed
that
does
situation,
all the time.
He said, yeah, Pujols has. Yeah, he said Pujols had
time,
permission to do that.
Yeah, well, Pujols could do whatever he wanted to do. But if it worked out, then everybody talks about what kind of a genius he is. So, you know, and most of the time, things seem to work out for him during the course of his career, which is why he has the title of being like a baseball genius.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things.
Like you said, go ahead, PJ.
I was just going to say, yeah, because he's one of those managers that is very, like, he makes a lot of moves. So it's one of those things, kind of like Jimmy said, where you got somebody that makes moves like that, makes more than the average manager, and is known as kind of like the chess match type of manager. When they go right, he looks even smarter. But when they go wrong, it's like it's even worse. Like, damn, like,
yo,
why would you
it's like
do
Andy
that?
Reid. It's like I see people all the time when Andy Reid, you know, Andy Reid wants a trick play like every other play. But when they go right, you see people on Twitter say, oh, this, that, and the third. As soon as it goes wrong, though.
He's a genius.
As soon as it goes wrong, they want him out. They want him fired. Like,
they want to rumble him.
Yeah.
I don't know if the dude is as fundamentally flawed as Andy, because La Russa looks like he's thinking, and Andy looks like he's looking at Madden.
A lot of La Russa's moves have got them here this far. So, I mean, you know, some of the things that he's done, and even giving them that push toward the end of the regular season is due to some of his moves and maneuvers, so... I mean, it would be unfortunate if the bottom falls out in the World Series, but...
Yeah, I mean...
You know, it's always like that. Like I said, you get second guess when your move doesn't work. Like, you know, back in
I forgot what year that was when the whole thing with the Red Sox was, did they leave Pedro in for too long? You know, he's your ace. So a lot of times you leave him in there and people saying, oh, that was a great decision. He had, you know, his pitch count was up there, but he's the ace. You left him in there. But like I said, when it goes wrong, then it's a whole different can of worms.
I mean, and another thing is you got to look at La Russa's won a World Series with, like, two different teams. So it's not like he hasn't had success with the way he manages. But like you said, things happen. So it is what it is.
All right. So I ain't going to torture y'all with baseball talk no more.
Thank you. Hey,
yeah, real quick.
Until
hey,
we
real quick.
Go ahead, Kel.
And now the Rangers have a chance to, I think two of us, me and you picked the Rangers last week, right?
Yeah, I picked the Rangers in 7.
Yeah, and I picked the Rangers in 6, so it looks like both of us have a chance to, you know, make this thing happen, but we'll see. But at the beginning of the year, I picked the Rangers to make it, but I had them losing to the Phillies, so that sucks.
So you,
hold up,
so
I picked the Cardinals in 7, so I still got a shot too, man.
Still got a shot, yeah.
Yeah,
so since
true.
You picked the Rangers in 6 tonight, Kel, you think they will close it out tonight?
Yeah, I think they will, because they have one of their better playoff pitchers, Kobe Lewis, at the mound, so I think they'll make it happen. Only way the Cardinals will win is if Pujols has a ridiculous night. But other than that, if he's like how he's been, then the Rangers will pull it out.
Yeah, well, never too much to ask for Pujols to have a ridiculous night, so we might be in for some drama if y'all choose to watch. But this is kind of NFL morphs into college football. The 49ers defensive tackle, Ricky Jean Francois, he used to play for LSU. He says Andrew Luck would not be the number one pick if he had to play an SEC team this year. Fellas, he's not saying just, I mean, I'm sure he would say this if asked. He's not saying Andrew Luck wouldn't be the first pick if he played in the SEC. He's saying if he played one SEC team this year, because he was asked about a possible Stanford-LSU title game. He's saying if he had to play against one SEC team this year, the performance would be so bad that his stock would drop. Anybody believe with Ricky Jean Francois is saying?
Yo, I don't know if I believe. I don't know if I believe what he said, but I will say the homie from Chellen Moore for Boise State, I think he'll be better than Andrew Luck. I'm just putting that out there now. Go ahead, Jimmy.
That's a big boat.
I don't know about that because he doesn't play SEC team either. But I know that when you watch college football, there is there's definitely a difference in watching the SEC and watching everybody else. It's like watching – the SEC is damn near pro football. And then you watch – like,
that's not on the defensive side.
Yeah, it's like the SEC championship is more important than the national championship at this point. The SEC is where it's at. And I do think that, but I don't know if, you know, playing one game would make that much of a difference. But then again, you never know because, like I said, the SEC is the top – it's the top competition. So – if he can't, you know how scouts are. Anything can change their mind. If he does bad against the top competition, you know.
I'd take LSU's defense over the Eagles.
Yeah, but they've been singing the Andrew Luck praise like he's LeBron James coming out of out of Akron. So I think I think Andrew Luck has to die to not be the first pick in the draft. I'm not saying that because I think he's that great. I'm just saying from what you hear from the scouts and what you hear, you know, you got the whole suck for luck campaign going on in the NFL where fans want their teams to keep losing so they can get Andrew Luck. I don't know.
They build you up and tear you down. You know how it is.
Who, Austin?
Is B.B. Jones and Gronkowski involved in the suck for luck?
I can't remember before, and since I've been watching football, a rookie. I mean, I know they say that John Elway was like super hyped.
He
up,
was
like it was like
so
a no
was,
way.
So
but
Peyton
I don't
remember
another
Peyton Manning had like.
But like this, ridiculous. I mean, like it's. I mean, it's funny. I don't hear anybody saying anything critical of him. Like
anything bad? Yeah.
Nothing. I haven't heard nothing. And it's amazing because it's across the board from college analysts to NFL.
Yeah. They're saying he's the top prospect since John Elway. Because, you know, John Elway had all the tools. Like, Even Peyton Manning, he was a big deal, but Peyton wasn't mobile. John could run if he had to run. So, you know, he had the throwing, and, you know, he threw darts. You know, he put holes in his receiver's chest. He was accurate, and he was mobile.
But with that being said, though, it's still a difference in, you know, his division versus the SEC. It's like in SEC, they, like, beat each other up. It's like the SEC is where it's at, and that's why I think that's why Cam Newton ended up becoming the number one pick, because he had this type of success in the SEC, and they looked at that. With everything he faced and him still being able to win a national championship, I think that him playing in the SEC had a lot to do with it, because that's damn near minor league right there. SEC is a minor league for the NFL.
Well, let me quote, because he named a couple of names. Well, he named one. He said, I can say that from past experience, seeing Brady Quinn when he played us in the Sugar Bowl, he was a Heisman Trophy candidate and possibly the number one pick. You've seen that change real quick. Jamarcus actually became the number one pick, and Quinn's draft stock dropped to I can't even remember. Andrew Luck, good quarterback, good guy in the Pac-12, but playing against an SEC school, that won't work too well for him. John Harbaugh, so if this dude gets cut in the next few days, then you know John Harbaugh took that seriously.
In looking at Andrew Luck play and kind of reading and researching, and I don't know whether I can speak to refute or agree with what he's saying. What I do know is he's very accurate. He can make all the NFL throws. He's somewhat mobile. He's pretty athletic. I'm not going to put him on a John Elway level. John came out and was running like a receiver in terms of speed, 4.5, 4.6. I don't know where Andrew Luck is going to fall there, but I know that he's athletic enough to be mobile. I think that, you know, everybody's looking at this dude and saying the decisions he makes, the accuracy he displays, and the ability to make all the throws make him NFL-ready right now versus just looking at raw talent or potential. Okay, well, he's strong, or, you know, he's got a good arm, or, you know, he's kind of accurate but doesn't play in a pro system. I think if he lands in the West Coast, I think that this dude could kind of take off. I would kind of compare him to Kevin Cobb on steroids.
Yeah, he throws well on the run, too.
Right.
Even though he's wearing that big-ass knee brace. So I don't know how that's going to fare for him in the NFL, but, yeah.
Plus, he's apparently an intelligent guy, too, like academically and, you know, that plays a part. You know, he on his Ryan Fitzpatrick jump.
That's a good point, too, PJ. That's the thing with that SEC comment. I think that when people say that, they're counting on the fact that, okay, the difference between the NCAA, particularly the top two, three conferences in the NFL, is not only are the premium cream of the crop athletes there, which they are in those conferences, but now you kind of have to think the game. From what I've seen from Andrew Luck, he's not muscling it through or just being an athlete. He's already kind of making reads, making progressions, and he's thinking the game as opposed to just being – you know, an uber strong athlete who's going to wait to get to the NFL to develop his game. So
no,
if you throw 11 athletes against me on the opposite side of the ball, just because you run faster, jump higher, and are more athletic doesn't mean that I'm not able to outthink you or beat you.
But what I'm saying is he's still playing against inferior defenses. I mean, it's just the bottom line. If you look at the top defenses in the country in terms of the NCAA, majority of them are in the SEC. If you look at the national champions over, like, the last decade.
Let me ask you this. When you say top defenses, Jimmy, are you – and I'm real question. Are you talking statistically or are you talking schematically? Are you talking
scheme? Both, because even if you look at the top coaches in college football, it's in the SEC, and most of them are pro coaches.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say just because I'm a pro coach, I'm going to run a complicated scheme. If I have superior athletes in college, I don't have to run a complicated scheme. I'm better than you.
But first off, it's not like Andrew Luck is playing in a conference where he's playing the community college of Philadelphia either. He's playing in a tough conference, but it's not the SEC. And there's no way about it. It's not just about athleticism when it comes to that. I mean, look at some of the top players in the NFL now, they're products of the SEC. And, I mean, there's a reason for that. They get the best talent, whether that be just from a physical standpoint, from a mental standpoint. They have the best coaches. They
exactly.
have the most money invested. I mean, it is what it is.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I still think his comments have no merit. If the dude is good, then, you know, it may not matter. Because even if that's the case, it may not just be the quarterback. If his team
could
goes
be the line,
team,
yeah, it could be,
his
yeah.
team could his team could fold up and play bad, which
and he
you know,
won't.
Which reflects on his performance. You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, that's why I said it is some stock to what he's saying, because it could be a situation where he does do bad and it's not even his fault. But all he said was he wouldn't be the number one pick, which could be true. I
doubt that.
What
they one guy, if they play
what
one game,
what is going to expose in that one game that's going to take away that
one, though?
Like, what does he have to do in one game, Jimmy, for his stock to drop? I mean,
that
he had negative 60 yards passing. Like, he
just throw
the ball
backwards. Just show that what he does on a week in a week out basis. No, just show that what he does on a week in a week out basis. You know, it has an effect by playing a top level competition.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it has,
but one. But what his point is,
if
he played one
college,
game against an SEC team, his stock is going to drop. I think that's ludicrous.
Listen,
I don't believe that either.
If you watch him on a weekly basis, that's some of the stuff that they do. A lot of these Mel Kuypers, these guys, they build these guys up, and then watch him on draft day. Well, his one game against the SEC, he did this, that, and the third. They do that to guys.
I've seen it, but I've never seen it with a consensus number one pick. I know it's true. I'm just saying there's been guys dropping down in the draft a little bit. They weren't at the top of the draft in the beginning, but the consensus number one pick has one bad game. Go ahead, PJ. I can't see that.
I can't see him not being in the – I mean, I've never – I mean, so much hype behind him right now. I'm like a GM. What GM would even risk not taking him right now? Because they might play, even if, you know, even if they don't have an immediate need for him, it's like, how do you not take Andrew Luck?
I totally agree. The hype is there. But, see, I'm looking at it as if he playing one game this year. But I guess if he played one game each year since he's been there, I mean, it's a big difference. But I've seen it happen both ways with guys drop and guys move up. I mean, look at Nick Fairley. If Nick Fairley didn't play in the SEC, there's no way he would have went as high as he did. They were actually defensive tackles rated above him, but because he played where he played, they actually moved him up the board. So, I mean, it's just one of them things, man. When
what was the basis even of those ratings of those D tackles being higher if he played in a tougher conference?
Plus, last year, they didn't really know who was going
in. They have the best players.
Not quarterbacks.
Not a quarterback,
I don't see.
Hey, look, man.
Not quarterback.
Cam Newton.
You're naming one dude. I knew you're going to name one
dude. I know you're going to.
Jimmy just got finished dissing an SEC quarterback last week.
First off, I got another quarterback for y'all, too. Drop down and get your Tebow on. Tim Tebow.
It's Tebow time.
I think the decisions that will be made, especially with him being the consensus top pick for so long in so many people's minds, it's going to be a body of work. He could come out and stink it up and throw for that negative 75 yards in that particular game, but his body of work is going to be strong enough to keep him in the number one spot. I mean, there's too many things that he does well, and there's too much that he's shown. And like you say, if he stunk it up, it's subjective. I mean, it's 21 other people on the field, and who's to say that his line plays correctly? To say that, you know, the other athletes are performing where he needs them to. He could be balling, but everybody else is nutting up, and it's going to reflect on him, so...
All right, well, actually, we got another topic when we get to the football that might bring his name back up, so we can save a little bit of that for them. If anybody wants to call in, because we're about to get into some NFL talk, that number is 323-410-0012. Real quick before Jimmy takes us into that, I'm going to tell everybody real quick one more time how they can get in touch with us. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about the company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. Don't miss the boat. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, don't be lazy. Click on that memorabilia tab so you can buy cool War Room Sports merchandise, and then click on the blog tab to read the latest sports articles in the All Fair and Sports and War blog.
Then click the respective icons to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast. You can watch our videos at WarRoomSportsTV.com. For access to all of our media content on the go, download the free War Room Sports mobile app to your Android or Apple device. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. That's where you can get all your opinions in, and we might read it on the air. So to get into the chat room, sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account there, you can sign in with your Facebook or Twitter account. So while you're at it, follow us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room tonight and every week during the show. So call in, like I just said earlier, if you want to speak to us. And we're about to get in some NFL talk. That number again is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so go ahead and raise your hand because we might just get to you. Jimmy.
Yes, sir. Let's talk some NFL.
All right.
Before I do so, real quick to answer your question, Austin, Peyton Manning was an SEC quarterback. At any rate, let's go into football. Next week's show, before I even get into this, on next week's show, guys, we'll have Jeff Thomas from Rank Top 5 Sports. He's our Chicago correspondent, and he's going to come in and talk about the Eagles and Bears game. This guy is an expert in all things Chicago sports. As a matter of fact, he's in our chat room right now, so shout out to Rank Top 5. But, we're going to come bring him on and talk a little smack, and we're going to put a friendly wager on the game of the Eagles versus the Bears on Monday Night Football. And we'll also be on their show next Friday and Monday. So make sure you're here next week and also tune into their show Friday, November 4th at 10:30 a.m. You can find that at blogtalkradio.com/ranktop5sportstalk. But, you'll see little stuff about that on our Twitter, Facebook, or whatever during the course of the week. But shout out to JT from Ranked Top 5 Sports. Now, let's talk some football, yo. Your homie, Asante Samuel is disgruntled with the Eagles. What are your thoughts on this, considering you guys are all Eagles fans?
I don't know, because it's a situation in Philadelphia where, I mean, the reason he's disgruntled is not really because they picked up the other corners, because, in today's league where, it's a pass-heavy league, you need 3 and 4 corners out on the field at a time sometimes. So playing time is not really the issue. But he's back to where he was before the season when he was upset that he heard that he was on the trading block. And right before the trade deadline, his name was out there again. So that's what he's kind of upset about. He feels that he's done a lot for the team. He's been the lead corner over the last few years. And when they bring in new guys, he's the guy that's on the trading block. But he kind of has to understand that that's the business. If the Eagles are lacking somewhere else on their defense and they have a tradable commodity that they don't necessarily need, then come on, man. It's a business, Asante, man. You can't get your business on the phone.
He must just not understand how the Eagles play, yo. How many people they let, let go or traded?
No, they let Brian Dawkins go, you need to shut up.
Bobby Taylor. Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent.
Yeah.
Brian Westbrook.
They let Brian Westbrook and Brian Dawkins go. Yo. Seriously.
I think for him it's a combination of three things. One, it is about what do we need on defense. I mean, I package Asante and his whole family up for a linebacker. So, we need a linebacker. We need a linebacking core. Number two, it is system. Nnamdi is better suited to play in a shell cover zero or cover one situation, which means he's getting a man system. Even if you were going to go combination, zone up everybody else and let him play man, the complexity of that system, you would need to bring Juan Castillo in, sit him down, brush up on his defensive principles a little bit, and have a whole offseason to install that. They don't have that type of time. So you're going to end up in a situation where, okay, do we scrap our combo zone man principles, because they run a little bit of man, they run a little bit of that cover two, which Asante feels natural in. Cover two is what he's grown up in the league in. But it's like the other two corners are better suited to be man corners. Nnamdi, you know, I God bless him, I don't know what his intellectual capacity is, but I can tell you DRC is not the brightest light on the Christmas tree, and it takes a lot of intellect to play solid in a zone scheme. So he wants to man up, go mano a mano, and just lock up. And those two other corners are better suited to that. So that's an issue. You know, do you run more man and sacrifice what Asante is good at? And then lastly, you know, about to boil down to the money.
Yeah, he is making a whole heck of a lot of money. So.
A lot of money.
Dev, you got anything you want to say about
that.
It?
No, all right. Let PJ get off on that.
Okay,
and then
okay,
after PJ does, I'll read his comments, and then Andy Reid's statement.
Yeah, go ahead. Actually, you know what, Dev, you can do that, because I was just going to, since y'all pretty much summed up my point, too, but it was funny. His comments were actually funny, especially when we were talking about the check thing, so I'll let you
The ones I have, he was like, quote, a couple people upstairs might not want me, but who cares? They probably never played football. It's a business, and they run it like a business, and they're going to do what they need to do. They're playing with a lot of money, playing fantasy football, doing their thing. And everybody was saying they think he was taking shots at Joe Banner and Howie Roseman. And so Andy Reid came out. Well, let me say first, Andy Reid came out and made a statement. He said, I'm aware of how Asante felt, and we have since talked. We both left with a positive feeling going forward. As I've said previously, when we acquired DRC and Nnamdi, we have received numerous calls on the availability of our cornerbacks. After discussing significant trade offers with other teams, we decided to keep all three cornerbacks on our team. He's probably lying. They just didn't get an offer. Asante is a valuable member of our team, and we appreciate all that he brings to this organization. As far as my relationship with Howie and Joe, I have a great deal of respect for both of them, and I know we're all on the same page. It seemed like Andy slid that in to kind of – he's saying that we're on the same page, but it seemed like that crack was to kind of distance himself from Howie and Joe a little bit. That's how I read into that. Because why did he have to say that? Because we all know Andy has a lot of – say over personnel, but maybe that's changing.
Because you know what? You're right, because even Asante, I heard another comment that was like, yo, I play for Andy. Like, I'm here and I play for Andy, but pretty much.
Yeah, he said, everything has been good with me and Andy. That's my guy. That's who I play for. That's who I continue to play for. I go to war for Andy, and it is what it is, all the other stuff upstairs. So I think Andy Andy threw them under the bus, like, yo, Asante, it wasn't me, cuz.
Yo, first of all, Andy is setting up his next job in Arizona, yo. So that's what he's doing right now. But it's funny because Brad had mentioned that's why he already sent them out there. He know what he's doing. Brad had talked about Castillo, and it's funny how Eagles fans just go in on Castillo talking about his wide nine scheme, this, that, and the third. But It's not even his scheme. It's funny because they hired, like, Washburn, the defensive line coach, before they hired a defensive coordinator. And I heard several people say that they tried to bring in a better-known defensive coordinator, but a lot of them refused to come in because they didn't want to run that scheme. Do you guys think there's any truth to this?
I heard that, too. They definitely hired Washburn first. He was here before Castillo was appointed.
He was here before the coordinator, which is, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, you're right. And they tried to get other defensive coordinators, and then they kind of, like, just settled for Juan Castillo, essentially, because they did reach out to other coordinators that were more known, with more experience, but apparently I heard that. They didn't want to do the wide nine, not with our personnel.
Jimmy, that kind of makes sense of the whole situation, because what I've been saying the whole time is, you can tell that Castillo doesn't really have the power because the scheme that's getting him bashed by all the fans isn't even his scheme. So the fact that you said they hired him, they hired Washburn before they even hired a DC, and the other defensive coordinator said, no, I don't want to run that, and that's why they didn't come to town, the whole thing is making sense. But nobody's bashing Washburn. Everybody's bashing
Nobody is.
And if y'all notice, when they came out of the wide nine against the Redskins, they put the run on lock. And the Redskins have been running
crazy.
The ball pretty well the
that's
last
crazy.
Week.
And that's the thing about football.
When you're in that wide nine,
systems make so much of a difference. And it's he's getting blasted for a system that's not even his. But meanwhile, you can't knock him either because he was like, yo, he got a nice little raise with that. He said, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
And you.
Who doing?
And When you're in that wide nine, your linebackers have to be able to cover so much ground, and your D tackles have to be so monstrous, because essentially you're taking your D ends completely out of the run game. Their responsibility in run is just strictly to set the edge, and then other than that, go get the quarterback. So I think what really happened was somebody upstairs became a little full of themselves and said, yeah, we got the dream team. We got Mike Vick, and we got it going on. We're going to put up a lot of points this season, so we're going to be playing from ahead, and teams are going to have to pass to come back on us. So we just going to run this wide nine and get after
it. I know one thing. I don't know whose voice you're doing, but J.J. Evans don't work in their front office.
But my question is, whose responsibility is it to stop the bleeding when you know that it's not working, though? Like, is it one, or is Washburn trumping him, or is that Andy? You know what I'm saying?
Andy says wondering. Every week, it falls on his shoulders. Andy will tell you that himself.
Yeah.
So for some reason, Washburn is pulling a lot of power here, because they stuck with his system a little longer.
If they do that this week, that kid
DeMarco Murray might expose them.
But my question is, I wonder why they just didn't make him DC. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, if you're going to run this system,
he probably just wanted to be the puppet master. He didn't want to really put the hours in like that.
Yeah. But as soon as Steven Jackson took his first touch to the crib in the first game of the season, they should have threw that wide nine.
Switch systems out right there in the first play.
Wide nine doesn't work without very good linebackers. You know what I'm saying?
Let's talk about one of PJ's favorite players of all time. Terrell Owens. That is Terrell Alderado Owens. He had a workout, and nobody showed up to watch him.
Yo.
So I want to know, what's your guys' opinion of T.O. Having a public workout, and, you know, he didn't even have fans show up. He was there by himself. He was him and them two chicks from his reality show.
And Rachel.
It's really unfair. This is my chair.
That's my workout.
That's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
I thought it was funny at first, but then when you really think about it, it's like, you know, this is the age of YouTube and all that kind of stuff, so anybody who needed to see it will see it. So, you know, why waste a trip to California when you don't have to fly somebody all the way out to California? But, you know, it's kind of funny, because I'm sure that was a Drew Rosenhaus production, and when no one showed up, Drew Rosenhaus had to go in the spin control and start saying, you know, we were just trying to create a buzz. We didn't really expect anybody to show up. Like, yes,
I'm lying.
Exactly.
I wonder if he had his own, like, Ustream or something. He should have Ustreamed it, like, their YouTube live.
I think ESPN.
ESPN covered it live.
Yeah, they covered it live.
Yeah.
That's
but
even more embarrassing.
Was it me, or was Jerry Rice kind of – Jerry Rice seemed like he was hating a little bit. Because when they were interviewing T.O., he kept bringing up the negatives. Rachel Nichols is talking to him, and, you know, she's giving him a chance to promote himself, and then Jerry just interrupts him like, but I saw you looking kind of tired and panting. You know, maybe you got to get back into football shape, blah, 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 this and that. And T.O. kind of looked at him and then had to smile it off like, this is Jerry Rice, I got to laugh. So he's promoting himself again, and then Jerry taps him on the stomach and says, well, when you first started, you looked a little hesitant on the knee. I'm like, yo, he's probably like, is this dude trying to help me or not? So the final time, he's in T.O. promotion mode again. Jerry taps him again to get his question across. Didn't even ask a question. He just tapped him and said, but you're 37 years old. He said, how does it feel to be the old dog? When you came in, I was the old dog, and they were trying to
push
me.
And that's what it's all about. It's all about the fact that when T.O. came up, he pushed Jerry out of San Fran kind of.
I think Jerry is a little salty, man. He's probably looking at T.O. like, damn, this dude 37 and he's still this kind
of. And it's funny, ranked top five, so the same thing in our chat room, Jerry getting payback. It's funny how when you look at these athletes who are at like the top of their position or their game, like, yo, these dudes all hold grudges. They have something in their DNA where they like don't let things go.
Yeah, he definitely. He had to have an agenda behind the questions that he was asking the dude, man. And T.O. just kept looking at him, but then smiling
at
all.
It's like sad. I want to hear what PJ got to say, because that's one of PJ's favorite players of all time. And for nobody to be there except for Mo and Keita, that's kind of embarrassing, man.
But, Joe,
Drew said they weren't expecting it.
Go ahead, PJ.
I was happy. You know, I was hoping that he had a good workout, get my man back out on the field, getting playing again. I mean, he out there, cut up, no body fat, great shape. But unfortunately, that's the combine. Those combine things. Now, he looks kind of fast, but again, I can't. It's really hard to judge because he's out there running in short. Well, not shorts, tights, unfortunately. Still working on my man wardrobe, baby. He got his shirt off and tights on all the dag one time. But I don't know. He looked okay coming in and out of the breaks. But, again, when you got the pads on, when there's somebody jamming you, when there's somebody in front of you, it could be a completely different story.
How's your knee going to stand up?
Yeah, how's your
right,
knee going to stand up?
Right, because, PJ, you
remember
you saw the corner that they had there. He kept coming up, acting like he was going to touch him, but then he backed off.
And then let him go. Exactly. He would come up and then fake a jam and then step to the side, let Tio just run and try to flex his bicep or something and catch the ball. I'm like, come on,
exactly. But you know what? I think that was the luxury of not having teams there, because if teams were there, they probably would be like, no, on the next one, jam him for real. Like, Tio, I'm like, uh-oh.
I was personally disappointed. Because one of my strategies in this fantasy season was I drafted T.O. and hold him on my team the whole season.
Yeah, you did do that.
Come back on a winning team. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to go back fantasy-wise. But as of right now,
I still think somebody may pick him
on my roster.
I don't think he's going to have a problem getting a job just because there's 32 teams out there. And at this point, I don't think it's that he's really chip chasing. And if you saw his productivity, the challenge really for them
is
okay.
He's check chasing. T.O. will play for anybody right now.
How solid is your knee? You know, have you truly recovered from an ACL tear that happened in April?
Yeah.
How solid is that knee? And then, you know, outside of that, you're signing a 37-year-old dude, and you know how T.O. gets down and Drew Rosenhaus gets down, so they're going to come in there and say, yo, we want a 3-year deal for $6 million, $3 million guaranteed. And a team is going to be like, dude, you're 37. I'm not signing you through you being 40 and guaranteeing you $3 million. So then there's that aspect of the whole thing. So I think a lot of teams are looking at saying, okay, what am I going to sign myself up for if I pull T.O. in? What am I going to get involved? I don't think they're questioning the productivity, because dude darn near went over 1,000 last year and didn't play a full season. You know, so
yeah.
I don't know.
He did get an offer, though. He got an offer from a Chicago team in the Arena League.
Chicago Senators or somebody.
They probably were at the workout, but they weren't important enough to get acknowledged. No, I do think somebody will pick him up. And I think what PJ said earlier, I think Tennessee would be a good fit, because Matt Hasselbeck is a veteran quarterback who's not going to take the foolishness that, you know, T.O. might bring, even though I think he's off that now. Kenny Britt out for the season. You know, I thought about Washington because they lost Santana Moss for a while, who's not a number one receiver anyway. But if he comes in there, his personality might be a little too much for John Beck. You know, John Beck, kind of a nobody. So, yeah, I think Tennessee would be his best fit. They said something about the Raiders. Carson Palmer tried to say, you know, we don't really need that. But I think Carson Palmer was just, he's in a new place with new teammates. He go out saying, yeah, we could use T.O. He's already throwing his new teammates under the bus. So I'm pretty sure he would love to have T.O., but he's not going to openly say that. So I think there's work out there for the dude, man.
I heard today that Chicago might be in the mix.
Yeah, yeah, because they're receivers.
Yo, so you're trying to say Sam Hurd and Roy Williams aren't doing the job? You're trying to say Sam Hurd and Roy Williams aren't doing the job?
Shout out to my man JT from Ring Top 5 in our chat room, but Chicago's receivers suck. Y'all can really use T.O.
I didn't know they had receivers. I thought they had two athletes, Johnny Knox and
Johnny Knox is scared. Johnny Knox is scared. I've seen him fold. Yeah, Matt Forte is their best receiver.
He's
shout
there
out to my
deal.
Fantasy team.
Oh,
shout out to my fantasy
Dad,
team.
We'll
lose this week because Forte on a bye.
I know.
Put up Carson Palmer, and Carson Palmer, he needs to like worry about getting all those John Morrell ads pulled off because I don't know if you guys seen his hot dog brains representing, but all the pictures with him like you know having hot dogs halfway in his mouth are like unacceptable.
No Atlanta.
Exactly.
Pause.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah, double pause that one. Double pause that. And by the way, Rank Top 5 said he agrees that they receivers suck rhinoceros pizzle. with that being said, let's move on to another football story. We had a discussion about this off the air, all of us, all of the War Room Generals. We were talking about the Colts and would they draft Andrew Luck. And, you know, most of you guys, well, everybody except for me, thought that if they did draft Luck, they would keep Manning around to kind of, like, mentor him. And I thought that you drop that money and just move forward. So you guys want to, like, you know, give your reasons why?
There was actually Phil Simms said on what's the name of that show? It used to be HBO, now it's on like
Inside the NFL.
Yeah. What's wrong with my mind, man? Getting old. So Phil Simms said he thinks Peyton Manning would veto any plans for them to pick up Andrew Luck. So the argument has been, first of all, I'm thinking like, I know Peyton Manning is a lot to that team, player, coach, probably get the
ownership
one day. Yeah, OC. But
defensive MVP.
If you have what they're calling a once-in-a-generation type talent, does he have the power to tell Bill Polian, no, you can't draft this dude, even though I'm 36, 37 years old? Like, do y'all think he has
that
kind of power?
Yo, I saw that last night, Dad, and I saw him say that, and I'm like, yo, can you really have that kind of power?
Yeah,
he may.
That's right.
That may be the situation where they move on and try to build Peyton. You know what I mean? And, you know, Peyton's one of those guys who will hold the grudge forever. You know, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
So, Jimmy,
by the way.
So, Jimmy, real quick. So, you saying that he might
talking about
pull a Carson Palmer? You said you might pull a Carson Palmer and say, look, trade me or I'm going to retire if they draft Andrew Luck.
As long as he don't do none of them John Morrell ads, he can be like, you know, Carson Palmer and leverage his, you know, and go. I mean, he may. You never know. You never know. But at the end of the day.
I mean, nobody wants to be replaced, but
yeah.
That's the reality of it.
At the same
argument was that Peyton was thinking that if you get a pick like that, Peyton would be like, you know, why not go and get somebody that's going to help us win now today? Like, use that pick to get a better player, maybe shore up some of the defense or
right.
something like that versus getting a quarterback to replace me, like, take advantage of that pick so we can win now.
Right. See, now
that's
only,
what he was trying to make the argument for Peyton.
Now, I would tell Phil Simms the only thing wrong with that logic, now, we don't know what they're going to go, but say if these dudes do mess around and go 0-16, which I don't think they'll do. Okay, we know that Peyton Manning's gone and how much he means to the team, but if we're 0-16 just because you left, I don't really have the confidence in this team that we're still elite. So getting one player that's going to help us out now with the number one pick, you know, I don't know if that's even worth it. I think if you go on to the team, I think you're at the point where you got to rebuild anyway. I mean, I know it's a lot to do with Peyton, but 0-16? Like, if it gets that good.
First off, a couple of things. First off, they need to stop putting them on nationally televised games. That, like kills my blood. Like, nobody wants to see Curtis.
Well,
like,
you know that, Jimmy, the Sunday night games, they don't have that flex schedule until the second half of the season. So if they're scheduled for the second half, they might get moved. But the first half, we got
to
see them.
They need to start calling audibles in terms of their scheduling. Like, you should be able to do that from day one.
I don't mean to belabor the point, but, yo, what happened to Pierre Garçon? Like, he was balling with Peyton, and now he just looked like a Haitian brother playing football.
Because we say it every week, wide receiver is the most dependent position in football. If you don't have anybody to throw it to you, it doesn't matter how good you are. And if you aren't that good, if you have a superstar throwing it to you, it's going to make you look better than you really are. What happened to Larry Fitzgerald last year?
Shout out to our Philly correspondent, Naran. He said that not only would he get rid of Peyton and start Luck, but he would get rid of his own son, Chance, and start Luck. So he's high on Andrew Luck's ability.
Damn.
He said he would trade his own son.
I mean, because Austin, Austin, you're asking about Pierre Garçon, but where the hell is Reggie Wayne? Like, where's anybody?
Yeah. I mean, I'm watching their games, Reggie gets some catches.
Nobody's passing you the ball.
Reggie gets some catches, but Pierre is, like, dropping the few balls that do come his way.
Man, Reggie is out there playing like he's looking at Reggie.
I think Pierre Garçon is spoiled. He's used to them being a little bit more on the money.
I agree. The whole team looks like ass cheeks. Reggie out there looking like he smoked Reggie. And the running game is not exactly the defense.
I just think Curtis Painter isn't stupid. I just think Curtis Painter isn't ready yet, though. Even though I've called him trash in the past, I think Curtis Painter has a future as a backup quarterback in this league. Because you can see sometimes.
You have a future as a backup.
He got a future as a backup. He got an AJ Feely future. You know what I'm saying?
That just sounds funny. You have a future as a backup.
You can see the talent, but he's just not ready to be on that stage right.
Could you imagine the college quarterback at the combine and he comes and say, young man, you have a future as a backup in this league?
Well, he probably like it's better than selling insurance, which is what I was going to do.
Speaking of young quarterbacks, let's talk about the debuts this week. What did you guys think of John Beck?
John, what the heck?
Has any comment on John Beck.
Real quick, let me bring up a thing about the Redskins since you brought them up, Jimmy. I want you guys to tell me if this is coincidence or karma. Rex Grossman in the beginning of the season says that the Redskins are going to win the NFC East. He's now been benched for the aforementioned John Beck. Tim Hightower goes into an interview saying he looks forward to being interviewed at the Super Bowl because at the time the Redskins were like 3-1. So he starts mouthing off about the Super Bowl. He's now out for the season with an ACL tear. Cooley was talking about how Romo was such a choke job and how he wanted to, you know, ball him up in the steel cage. And now he's out for the season with a broken hand, messed up knees, all kinds of stuff. So y'all think this has anything to do with karma for all these Redskins mouthing off because they started out the season well, which they've done in the past. I don't understand why they, you know, really thought that it was home free and it was time to talk.
They were so excited to part ways with McNair, they didn't know what to do with themselves.
everybody just starts spouting off at the mouth. Like, man, he's gone. We got this.
But real quick, Austin, this is to you. Nairan in our chat room says, actually, statistically, Pierre has 30 catches for 504 yards and 4 touchdowns, and Reggie Wayne has 30 catches for 426 yards and 1 touchdown. So Pierre is actually outperforming Wayne this year.
Well, maybe, Nairan, you have an opportunity to be his agent, or you can do the same thing for T.O.
No, I don't think he's taken up for Pierre. He's just saying because you just called out Pierre, and I said, what about Reggie Wayne, and you kind of just skipped that. I think he's just saying Reggie Wayne stinks just as much as Pierre Garçon does right now. Because you said Reggie gets his catches, but Pierre is just dropping balls. But Reggie
gets his catches because Curtis targets him. Curtis targets Wayne a little bit more than Garçon. Because
Wayne had his back.
But the thing is, they have the same amount of
Kerry
they have Collins the same. Actually, Wayne has. I mean, Pierre has better stats though. He has more production than Reggie Wayne.
Same amount of catches.
I just want to know, how do you let somebody put 62 up on you and have a straight face after the game?
Where's the pride?
Where's the White Freddy and Mathis and them dudes? Like, where's the pride?
Where's
man?
The fight?
At some point,
start
in
a fight or something. Like, where's the fight?
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
I'd rather see you. I'm with Jimmy. I'd rather see unsportsmanlike conduct than you let somebody put 62.
I would have got my Andrew Bynum on in that game.
If you're going to put up 62, you're going to go down the field with a 15-yard penalty. Like, you're going to just keep dogging me like that.
That's what you said. Your goons out there. Well, where's the John Chaney?
John Chaney style.
Next quarterback. What you guys think of Christian Ponder?
Nice. Talented.
Christian Ponder showed some signs. You know, of course, he also showed some signs of being a rookie. But I think he held the offense down pretty well. His first pass was like a 72-yard touchdown to Jenkins, but they said Jenkins' elbow was down at the 1. So after a failed run by AP, you know, they gave my man his 1-yard pass so he can get his first touchdown. So I think he played pretty well considering the circumstances, but I'm not going to get too high up on him. I'm not going to go to Christian Ponder's nice route.
Yeah, no doubt. But. I got a no-brainer question for all of you, but before I do that, Iran is just going in now. He did the research, and actually Wayne has more drops too. But anyway,
Wayne must be on his fantasy team. He must be upset.
Do you guys think that Christian Ponder is an upgrade from the previous quarterback that played for the Minnesota Vikings?
Now, I'm not even just trying to diss the ball just for the sake of dissing, but it was obvious by the way the game went. It was obvious by the way the game went that it was an upgrade for their offense. I'm not even trying to take a shot at the dude because I let Austin do that.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it was obvious.
Honestly,
look at
there, McNabb
scored points.
Yeah, McNabb was playing horrible though. Like McNabb was not just like going at him, but he was playing horrible. Like,
Wasn't there a safety in that game? Was that
the last game McNabb played? He got safety.
Yeah, he got safety and smile and got and set up and smiled. Okay, all right. That was what I.
He's upset though. He said some stuff this week in the news too, saying that you know he's still upset. He didn't understand why he was benched, and you know he's a competitor, and you know the stuff that you're supposed to say.
I give McNabb credit for one thing. McNabb always says the right thing. He says what you're supposed to say.
But he always says
it
the
or not.
Same thing.
Yeah.
At some point, you can't believe it because it's the same thing he's always said.
Actions speak louder than words, and your action is passing it to the worms.
Yo, McNabb will have a job in broadcasting the day he retires. And
he's going straight to the.
Hopefully,
He's going straight to the studio with a booth.
Yeah.
And shout out. Let's talk about Ponder, man. Let's leave that dude alone, man. Ponder made some throws that I was impressed with. As Dev mentioned, I mean, he's a rookie, and he made some rookie mistakes, it showed, but he was a gamer, and in the face of a pretty decent Green Bay defense and a juggernaut of a team, I think he played pretty well. I know there's no such thing really as moral victories in a loss, but I was impressed with what I saw. Hopefully they can do it.
Real quick, shout out to the homie Raheem Islam. He's in the chat room. He said McNabb has been a bump. He said, I don't know why nobody's surprised. He still says he's blaming Andy for everything, so.
I'm not surprised. You know, I tell people, every game he plays outside of the cushy system of Andy Reid that was designed to mask his flaws proves everything that we've said for the past 10 years proves us right.
Wait, hold up, y'all. I got a question. I'm being dead serious, too. I'm not really pooping on it. Well, yes, I am. But has he played a good game since he's left Philadelphia? Like a good game?
He played well. He messed it up. He played a great game against Houston last year when he was with the Redskins. But remember, Houston came back from that big deficit.
Yeah.
And even when he plays a great game, what does he do at the end of the game? What did he do in Tebow time? He didn't do anything. And
Houston
came back and won the game.
He was on the sideline talking to LeBron.
Yeah, so he had like 350 yards on them or something like that. But when they started they showed him on the sideline looking nervous. You know how he
looked. By the way, I just want to bring something to your attention that when I brought up John Beck, y'all were so busy dissing the Redskins that nobody really told how he felt about John Beck personally.
Oh, well. I just feel that John Beck is not really that much of an upgrade over Rex, besides being a little bit mobile. John Beck, if they get into the red zone, he's gonna run in a touchdown every week. That's all I say about John Beck. He's nothing special.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I didn't really see too much. I saw like a little bit more mobile, just like Dev said.
Hey, Dev, let me ask you a question though. Does he have a future as a backup in this league?
He had a pass as a backup. A present as a backup, but when you're backing up Rex Grossman, you're always going to get a chance to play. So once this little experiment finishes, he still has a future as a backup. He can get you with Curtis.
Oh man, that's hilarious! Yo, shout out to the homie Kevin Lane because I want to talk about his homie Carson Palmer and those egregious ads, and also his first performance as an Oakland Raider. He was ass cheeks. I mean, there's no other way to put it. He fucked the train up. What are you guys' opinion of Carson Palmer?
Damn, after you said he was ass cheeks.
I mean, I'm just keeping it real with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest.
You throw him into the fire first game, he comes in unprepared, no timing, no work with the receivers. I mean,
you weren't expecting much, right?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting
three picks either.
He didn't have to get the other team the ball three times, but.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think
he looked no different than Carson Palmer last year, though. For real.
Yeah, Broncos fans.
Even with his interceptions last year, though, he still had his season was bad for a very good quarterback. But other quarterbacks, you know, regular average quarterbacks, if they had the season that Carson Palmer had last year, people would be trying to sign him for a little bit more money. But Austin, he was literally thrown into the fire because they didn't put him into the game until Kyle Bowler had already thrown three interceptions. So you get him in the game to try to do some comeback cleanup, and, you know, he throws a pick six. He throws two more, and Jimmy just gave the shout-out to Kev Lang. Kev Lang said two of them weren't his fault, but Kev been giving Carson excuses before he even threw it up.
Kev Lang is out on the West Coast right now carrying Carson's luggage.
Yes, call in. Don't let him talk to you like that, man. Call in.
I'm a Carson supporter. I can't call myself a fan, but I do think he has game. But Kev Lang has already thrown it out there that he will die for Carson Palmer.
What has Carson ever done in Tebow time? And even beyond that, there's no way I can support Carson Palmer after seeing that John Morrell ad. I'm sorry, I just can't. I want Kev to defend that ad. Tell Kev to defend that ad.
I feel that. He had a hot dog in his mouth.
With
the paint under his eyes too. He had the whole football motif going on, munching down on some meat. Oh man, pause.
Finally, let's talk about Tebow time. The other quarterback to start is Tim Tebow.
We need like some angelic background music. For when we bring him up from now on, we need like that angelic background to make people even more upset.
Drop down and get your Tebow on. Why is Tebow such a polarizing figure in sports?
Jimmy,
because people
you just said drop down and get your Tebow on. That's a literal thing now.
They have
a new thing. They're not planking anymore. They're Tebowing. Remember, after the game, he got down on one knee, kind of like he was praying, but he had like his fist up in his forehead, and he was on one knee. So people are doing that now. Like they plank, they're T-bowing on stuff now.
I'm gonna go in real quick.
Why is he so loved?
I'm gonna tell you what it is, and I've decided honestly, I just feel like the dude really is sincere, and he wants to be great. All of those intangibles are authentic. So I've decided that I like backup. Now, I'm not going to say that on the air. I like Tim Tebow. What I don't like, despise, is his supporters, his blind supporters, and the blind hatred. Like, we haven't seen him do it. Give him an opportunity to work on his footwork, work on the mechanics. Right now, he is not playing quarterback in the NFL. He is playing all tackle one. I'm bigger and faster than all of y'all, and I'm going to get work out of it.
Hey, Brad, he's playing catch a girl freaker girl right now.
I think that there's a certain segment of the populace that kind of hitches their wagon to the things that he claims to represent. They try and say that they represent, and so he's such a wholesome and upstanding young man, so we're going to support him. And the reason that this is bad and hypocritical is because the way he plays the game is no different than Mike Vick in Atlanta. I think that's a point that Jimmy made. It's no different than Vince Young. It's no different than any other unskilled athlete that's put it.
But what does that have to do with being wholesome, though? I mean, if he plays a position like that and then he go out and rumble some dogs, then it's hypocritical.
Then he's a terrible dude. But it just goes to show you that people base their opinion of these athletes on more than just their performance, because they're ignoring the fact that he's a horrible quarterback and taking up for him as a
what about
as a
the,
human
what about
being.
The people that hate him, though? What about the people
now,
that,
the people
hate,
that
him,
hate him?
But they,
we
but
have
a, hold up. The people that hate him, but they absolutely loved Mike Vick when he was this age, as if they aren't the same player.
They're the same player. and I have a beef with them, too, because you're making your judgment based on this dude having five starts. The one thing that we do know about Tebow is he loves the game so much that he's going to put every ounce of effort into becoming a better player and a better quarterback. Now, whether he has the aptitude and ability to do that, we don't know. He could stay garbage. The dude takes a hike and drops back and turns in a circle. That's something that my son Dennis would do. But
I ain't going front. Like, watching that game, yo,
but
I was going back.
Win,
because of the way people hate him, and I'm going to keep it real funky with y'all, I think it's also a racial divide, because it seems like white people love Tebow and black people hate Tebow. And I think they hate him because he's hyped up to be, you know,
the great white hype.
The great white hype. But at the same time, like I'm saying, they're hating him, but at the same time loving quarterbacks of their own skin color who play just like him. But,
exactly.
But listen,
so they're kind of hypocritical in a sense. I mean,
I see
no difference between the Tebow now and when Mike Vick first got in the league. And the thing is, people saying, well, Tebow wasn't the first pick in the draft. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Some say he should have been drafted in the first round, which may be true. But at the end of the day, the dude wants to win. Now, I'm not going to lie, watching that game, I don't know how to feel about Tim Tebow, because the first three and a half quarters, yo, I was like calling for mercy, like take him out because he's embarrassing his family. And then once Tebow's time started, though, but you know what, though? A lot of that also has to go to coaching, because when you look at the game, they were trying to, like, you know, make him play backup quarterback football. Once they got down 15-0 and they was like, yo, they just let it loose.
Let me ask you a question, because you brought up coaching. With his skill set being as limited as it is, how can you coach him up?
Listen, man.
I mean, but
you try to coach him away from us. He shot puts his passes. Yeah.
Go ahead, PJ.
Their
quarterbacks were horrible. Phillip Rivers has some of the worst mechanics I've ever seen play football, yo. He punches the football. He throws it in the air and punches it forward. He tosses it up underhand and punches the football.
That could be proof that there is hope for Tebow, because Phillip Rivers' throwing motion is totally disgusting, but his deep ball.
Phillip Rivers, like Marion, football, yo.
You ready for another beating? You should have never came back.
Never. Yo, but like Mike Vick and Vince Young and Tebow, yo, their overthrows are serious. Like, you'll leave a game, they throw souvenirs. They don't just overthrow.
Yo,
they throw dogs into the crowd.
Nobody's worse than Vince Young.
You leave a game, souvenirs.
Yo, you throw more balls into the crowd, no rainbow, than hip-hop. Like, he straight threw it off, like, 30 yards into the stands. And by the way, for those who think that we're lying, there's actually a website called tebowing.com, TEBOWING.com.
Oh,
I started an album on our Facebook page,
Jimmy. Because, you know, I'm all about making people
there's
mad.
Definitely,
right now.
There's some hero worship going on. There's a lot of issues with this. There's some hero worship going on from the supporters. There's undue hatred and detraction from, let's call it what it is. Most of what I've seen is black folks that don't like this dude because he's receiving so much acclaim, and he is horrible as a quarterback,
but he's not bad.
He's not bad as a football player.
As a football player.
As a football player.
I've heard some white analysts killing him, though. some white that would be considered
because from a sports standpoint, PJ, if you know the game, you got to kill him because he has no skill.
It just sounds so horrible when you talk about somebody like that. You said you got to kill him because he has no skills. You talk about him like he's a potato, like a potato with a helmet on.
I'll take somebody on the air, because I don't Richard Rodd, but I take somebody on the air as far as skill-wise over him at quarterback.
Those dudes that PJ talking about, they're being objective because that's their job. But I'm talking about the people on our Facebook page. It's crazy. I'm talking about people who are openly rooting for him to fail just because, and they really can't tell you why.
There are people determining in his career that 15 years from now he will be a flop.
Let me tell y'all the timeline. This is how. I was watching that game, and dude was playing like scary bad. Like I was like, scared. He was playing so bad. But checking in on our Facebook page during the game, this is how it went. People were on there, you know, clowning him like, Tebow garbage. He can't even get off against the lowly Miami Dolphins, this and that. So when Tebow time came and he, you know,
Tebow time
led them back and won the game, then the post changed to, well, it was only the Miami Dolphins. Like, at first you were just clowning him because he couldn't beat the Miami Dolphins. But then when he comes back from 15 in the fourth quarter and beats them, now it's only the Miami Dolphins. Like, so it's like he can't win. Like, he's already lost with some people.
Y'all know,
all that talk about after the win is the negative.
Y'all know how y'all clown me for being a fan of random NBA players who aren't really good at all. That's how I feel about Tebow. Like, I'm a fan. I know he's not good, man. But it ain't dude's fault.
But you know what? He's not good in a J.R. Ryder type of way. Like, his fundamentals and his skills look terrible, but he will produce.
Right.
He's not good in that kind of way. It's not going to be pretty. But so far, you know, he's been able to.
Well, let me compare and contrast. I got a name for you. A non-traditional quarterback. Talk to me about Tim Tebow, Doug Flutie.
But yeah, that's who. Well, Doug's been taking his back the whole last week. Doug is like his agent now.
You got to understand that Doug actually went to another league, and like by the time Doug came around and really got his due. You know, he had
already proven that he could play.
Yeah, he didn't come right out of Boston College to the NFL.
This dude has literally played, four games at this point? Like, I mean, and it's crazy because I remember John Elway's first game, and he was worse than Tebow. But at the end of the day...
I don't know, Jimmy.
Not his mechanic, but his performance. Like, he didn't lead him back to any wins.
I'm not talking about mechanic. I'm talking about his performance was worse than Tebow.
He didn't lead him back to any
wins.
Being a fan of Tebow is like being a fan of Sam. You can't watch him play, man.
Sam Cassell.
Sam Cassell.
People hate Tebow.
Ugly.
is a rock star. The bottom line is Tebow is a rock star because that's what people hate about it. It has nothing to do with the way he plays or anything. People hate Tebow.
So why do you think he's so popular?
First off, he was the best player in the SEC.
He was the best player in college football for so long. And, you know,
He could have won two Heismans.
Yeah. He won two national championships. There's a guard
somewhere else.
And was
he ever a good quarterback in college?
No.
I didn't see him that much in college. Because he was a decent – you said he was just trucking people?
He was a running quarterback.
He
made a lot of good passes in college as well, but he was also throwing to like other NFL stars. Like wasn't Gronkowski on his team, and the dude from Buffalo, the receiver, the tall receiver.
He had that Florida monkey talent down there.
And he was playing in Florida, which is like, you know, one of the biggest football states in the world. He was Mr. Florida. That's what it is. Anyway,
but PJ, the dude is like, you know, God bless those. I read the Bible every day. I go to every hospital and help every child. And then the thing is, you look at this dude and you're like, nah, this can't be sincere.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, man. Enough of that, man. Anyway, good looking out, everybody, for joining us in the war room this evening. Special shout out to everyone who chimed in on tonight's topics. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another edition of the greatest sports show in the land and the galaxy. We'll welcome JT, a.k.a. Jeff Thomas from Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk Radio in Chicago. He's coming into the war to talk some trash about the Bears-Eagles Monday night showdown in Philly. We're going to have a bet, city versus city wager on the game, so you don't want to miss it. Have a great weekend, and until next week, everybody, remember, Peyton Manning is SEC and out.
From yours truly, Escobar and Big R, from New York to Chi-Town, check it out now. Commissioner Steve Staff, Trackmasters, QB. Check it, yo. Low profile, rap style, slick is new now. Get the crew pounds every time we cover new ground. Still surviving, but there's a few down. Back in the essence, I'm asking questions on the phone with jail adolescents. Quiet confessions, the system's applying the pressure. My mind is guessing, it's living and dying a lesson. But not to be obliged with the mirage of cars. Take me off track from what the guards focus on hard. Laid up smokers, cigars motion and maze to bring me toast to next kosher. Ice chokers and wolves to smoke. My wisdom culture lives in ultra madness. Devoted coach bag bitch. Broke the average against hopes to get mad rich. But what's the purpose? Only the gods could watch the earth twist. I'm physically trapped down on the surface with all the crack merchants, snakes and serpents, foul jakes that searches, clowns with 4 pounds, this ain't a circus. Circus.
Street dreamer, oh, much is much to me. Ain't nothing out there for ya.
The hood, I'm on the corner with the thugs. Late night under the moon as they assume I'm slinging drugs. Cause I'm hooded up. Thought a G at night wasn't good enough. Push my luck, yo, they had a brother putting cuffs. Luckily, made it out of court comfortably. Judge said I need a job, ain't nothing coming free. Could've got a 1 to 3. I try to school these shorties under me, but they can't see from life to death. So now we back to where we never left the ghetto. It's a damn shame, knowing it's a man's game. Shorties think it's time to make your plans change. All that running around trying to chase what's already here. Been there, it's going nowhere. Pops told me knock a luck, no fear. I wish some of these killings, they could be prevented. Whatever happens, it was written, meaning God meant it. But during life, you put your heart in it. Even though it seems we being targeted, let that brother all hit it.
Street dreamer, oh, much is much to me. Ain't nothing out there.
Was all we had, dressed the plushed out past, complaining, the mental straining. How many in my crew is into gaining? Subtract the weak links about to chain it, rise and start raining. Blasphemy, using Nas' name in vain. Some claim supreme being, yet they lied in his name. I tried to learn the game, and only thing I found incredible. Everything I tried to learn, see, I already knew. And it's embedded in my heart now, so I can sit back, counter stack, and play my part now. I saw my life flash in front of my eyes. He wore disguise, put a gun to me. Hungry, he went on a chastise. That's nice, ain't it? Made it rich from entertainment. Fresh while he's painted. As he told the kid he came with, my first thought was how the game flipped. Yo, perhaps it was somebody I smacked, drunk in a party on yak. Or was I marked for a contract for some foul act I did a while back, or even beyond that? He got me laying face flat, saying my grace black. Woke up in a cold sweat, yo, I hate that. Nightmares feeling real, word to will. My air like I lost in the battlefield. That's why I hit the mic with mad appeal. Grab your shield and meet your maker. The queen begins out for paper. These things the street dreams will take you. Take you.